There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Quick reminder, too, if you've never called in or texted into the station, go ahead and put this in your speed dial or just in your contacts. 343-0106. 343-0106. It may not be this show, but with 56 hours a week of live local shows coming from our studios right here at Airport and 65, it may be the gardening show, or maybe the Scuttlebutt Network, or it may be Mobile Mornings or Jeff Poor's show. It may be Prep Sports. Listen, all these shows, every weekday and every weekend day, live shows here at FM Talk 106.5. So make sure you have that number. You can call in or text in at 251-343-0106. All right, so keep that handy. As I said before the break, and this is going to be a good segue into my buddy who's going to join us here in a second, John Sharp from AL.com. I have gone from 340th or something in the college pick'em to 146 to 54th place right now in college pick'em. John, how about that? How about that climb to the top?
Congratulations, my friend. Impressive. I probably have gone the opposite direction.
Well, I'm in a 40-way tie. I am in a 40-way tie at 54th. Let's not. I mean, the details aren't great, but I am at 54th place with 40 of my closest friends. So I've moved on.
Well,
up.
You know, I did miss the Alabama game, as I imagine a lot of folks.
Yeah, who
did?
Who didn't?
Week. It was a tough week for me, and I'll dust myself off and hope that I can rebound next week. But we'll see. I don't know. It's a pretty day outside. I don't want to be talking about your football poll.
See, as you can hear, John's hurting a little bit after this last weekend. I do want to talk about what you and I were talking about during the news break. Because when John hopped on with me, I was talking about what we all were talking about before the news, and again, you know, with the writer's strike and what's going on in Hollywood, and you were pointing out about The Rock being, and I was thinking about The Rock showed up at the Colorado game, but you said he was on wrestling on what was that Friday night?
Yeah, he was on the Friday night show on Fox on SmackDown. He was on, and John Cena is now routinely on now. I think he's contracted to be appearing for you know, multiple shows leading up to like November, and there's some speculation that has a lot to do with, you know, the writer's strike, and you know, the actors are available more often now to participate in their original roles as professional wrestlers. But
that's kind of cool. I mean, that's a nice thing to fall back on. You know, like Leonardo DiCaprio can't show up for WrestleMania, right? Doesn't have that skill set where, you know, The Rock can go, okay, fine. If I can't be in whatever this Disney movie is or whatever you want to put me in, I'll go wrestle.
Yeah, I think there's also some interesting quirks there. You know, the WWE was recently bought by another company. And so I think there was some interest in The Rock's people coming to the show once the sale was finalized. And now, from what I've been reading online, of course, I'm no journalist on this side of things, but from what I've been reading online is that he may be making more appearances going forward, and they're trying to lock him in leading up to their biggest show, which is WrestleMania. So a lot of interesting. There's a lot of speculation. There's more speculation about that on social media than there is just about anything else, including Alabama football. It's crazy.
Wow. Okay. So, and I wonder if they'll start trying to bring elements of the whatever the hot TV shows, as I'm ignorant to, on network, if they'll bring it to the wrestling ring.
No, you raise a good point, because they're not affiliated with any of the unions involved, and you know, certainly not the Writers Guild. They, you know, pro wrestlers, since as far as I can remember, have always been considered independent contractors, in which they're hired and paid directly through the company in which they work for. So that's interesting. I mean, you know, there is no union representation there, not even with the writers that are part of the booking team that assembles the layout of the shows, which, you know, we know by now it's all scripted, but what... Yeah, that's you know, those writers are not part of a particular Hollywood, California-based union or anything along those lines. They're independent contractors as well.
New wrinkle to my thoughts here with the strike coming from the mind of John Sharp. Also, a couple of stories that are up at AL.com right now, yours I want to talk about. The first one, people were texting me pictures on Thursday night, and that it was all over social media, the fire downtown in the 400 block of Dolphin Street. And this is still getting attention now. Talk about what happened here with this fire and what the city has to say. What part of, say so do they have in it?
Well, I think the fascination is it's such an eye-opening fire. I mean, it was like the visuals were impressive. I had a picture texted to me. Interesting enough, I was downtown Thursday evening, and then I left, and I get home, I turn on TV, and I see, you know, the 10 o'clock news in which they're talking about this massive fire. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, and so I had a colleague of mine forward me a photo that was taken by someone downtown, and so it was just like, unbelievable visual image and very scary. I mean, you know, it's a building that, you know, you look at the flames flying up into the air and you're wondering, oh my goodness, it can't be just one little, I mean, half of downtown might be on fire. I mean,
right.
This is, it was scary. But the fire department, they responded quickly. They put it out and they were able to contain it fairly well. I mean, I think there was some minor damage to the two adjoining buildings. But to this abandoned building was, it erupted into flames. It's under investigation. So there's no speculation on my end, and I had no idea what might have caused it. We could speculate. It's an old building, or was it wiring, or whatever have you. We just don't know. So that's under investigation. But interestingly, on Friday, the city sent out a news release saying that they're working with the property owner, which they're affiliated with the Hoffman family, which part of that role of buildings along Dawson Street is you have Hoffman Furniture there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working with the owner right now to put together a plan to try and save the historic facade of that building. So we'll see what that means, what can be saved, what can't be saved, you know, kind of a long-term prognosis is for that block. It's kind of been, you know, interestingly, I don't know if you can remember about 10 years ago, that was the block that the city went out of its way to kind of carve out an exception for the entertainment district.
Mm-hmm.
You got allowances of the entertainment district on one side of Dauphin, and then on the other side, what we used to call it upper and lower. So that's the two ends of Dauphin Street. But there was always that funny two-block area that we used to always say, well, you know, yet technically you could get stopped by a police officer and ticketed for carrying an open container of alcohol.
You have to run through there.
To my knowledge, it never happened.
What? Right. Remember, we used to talk about that when those maps came out and said, this is the part where you run with your open container to get to the next safe zone as you go through there.
Yeah.
But with what came out from the city, though, they said the building will be secured, how this building will be secured permanently. Are they worried about falling down? I have not gone and seen it yet.
Yeah, they have barricades set up. They are concerned about, kind of the structural safety. They have the sidewalk closed. They don't want people walking by this thing right now. I mean, it just got significantly damaged in a fire. And we still don't know what the cost is and then yet is on the damage. We're waiting on that from the fire department. Maybe we can get an update tomorrow at the council meeting on that. But, that's kind of, they want to come up with a plan. The city, from this press release, indicated that they'd like to have a temporary remedy in place to secure the building right now, but they're working on something more permanent so that, the structure can be secured. They don't have the sidewalk blocked in perpetuity, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Watch for updates on that from you. And I also want to talk about this is it. Is this the worst kept secret or the thing that really didn't happen? Maybe you help us navigate this. I heard John Wall on with Jeff Poor here. Your headline, Alabama GOP chairman remains hopeful for state hosting presidential primary debate. There was a lot of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This thing's, you know, it's going to happen in Alabama. You've obviously heard the same things I've heard. Oh, it's coming and it could be in Tuscaloosa. And then you write this, you said let's see, a few hours later, a good sign turned sour for Wall and Alabama Republicans who had hoped for hosting the third presidential primary debate. A CNN report posted online Thursday afternoon suggested that Miami, so not Tuscaloosa, will be the third presidential debate. So what's the story?
So it hasn't been confirmed yet by the RNC, but interestingly, going back to, I believe this was Thursday, at a luncheon hosted by the Eastern Shore Republican Women in Fairhope, Chairman Wall was there. He spoke to the audience, and he briefly touched bases on this, this debate, because it's, like you said, it was the worst kept secret. Everybody kind of knew this was lingering out there. So he addressed it, and he said, "Well, I really can't announce anything yet, but," he said, "take my no comment as a good sign."
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of like, okay, well, this thing's probably happening. Okay, all right, it's just a matter of the RNC making the final arrangements and announcing it. And then I get home after covering that and start writing my story, and I see this word pop up from CNN saying, "Hey, it's going to Miami." So I have a feeling that took a lot of people by surprise. You can kind of draw that conclusion. But I talked to Chairman Wall about it. I think they still remain hopeful, but there's a limited amount of time before we have, before the debate season's over with in the primaries. You'll have the debate in November, which, if it's going to Miami, that's where it's going. We have the debate, I think is it this week or is it next week? It's in California at the Ronald Reagan Library. And then you'll have another debate most likely in December. And I think there's some hope that maybe the University of Alabama would be the site for that. But after experience what we just experienced here, I'm not too sure about that. So we'll just wait and see. Right now, I think there's hope that there'll be a debate in Alabama, but again, time is running short, because then you go right into the Iowa caucuses in January, and there'll be more. I think the candidates will be making their sprints all throughout the country leading up to primary season in Iowa, and then you go to New Hampshire, and then before you know it, it'll be March 5th here in Alabama. So it's coming around the corner.
Yeah, but speaking of which, right, we're waiting for that, what comes back from the special master. But, it's coming right around the corner. I don't know what the districts will look like for 1 and 2. That's the thing. We still don't know what the special master says. Will there be any relief from this latest lawsuit from the attorney general to the Supreme Court? I mean, it's just, March, I guess time moves on quicker than it used to for me. March is not that far off, and we still don't know how the districts will be drawn for Alabama congressional districts.
No, you're right. But I have a feeling that probably will be resolved before then, most likely. That's where we're at right now with this thing. I know there were some discussions about this at that luncheon as well in Fairhope. The attorney general was there, and he mentioned, the interest is obviously keeping Mobile and Baldwin counties together, and the hope is there in Alabama, it's the first congressional district. But, we'll see. I mean, that's all we can do. We'll just wait and see how this all materializes.
All right, John, if people want to trash talk college football or check out your latest stories from AL.com, they want to find you online, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter/X at JohnSharp99.
There it is. John, better luck next week in the good luck. I'm not wishing you any good luck in college pick'em. What was I doing? I've lost my mind here. I hope you have another bad weekend in college pick'em.
Yeah, same to you, pal.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, sport. All right, there he goes. John Sharp, AL.com. One of the good guys, for sure. Coming right back. Grab your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:24, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Fresh week to work with. Okay, I got an idea. Maybe a good day, maybe the best day of the week to set an appointment to get rid of the junk at your house, your office, your storage unit, wherever you got it. I got the guy who can do it for you. It's my friend Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Now, it could be small things. Like so many people think about, okay, boxes and things in the attic and, you know, cleaning out a garage or a storage unit. They do that with the regular. But big jobs, too. I mean, they tackle above-ground pools and swing sets and backyard storage sheds. And I mean, any kind of thing that's like junk you need gone, they can handle it. And the nice thing is, too, they realize you've got like a life. You got a job, you got family, you got, you know, friends, you got things you do. So they realize you like to make an appointment, right? This good old-fashioned thing called an appointment. So that's how it works. When you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone, call them. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll find a day that works for you. Sometime this week, maybe, or next week, or sometimes they can do day of. They'll find a time that works for you, and they set an appointment. You're there, they're there, you point at the stuff you want gone, and they'll quote you a price right there on the spot and get it done then if you say yes. So it's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I've used them personally, used them with this radio station. Several of us here at the station have as well. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just call them 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set that appointment up now. Look at it's not often, but sometimes I'll read you the emails I get here at the station from people looking to get guests on the show. Like and that's their job. They're PR groups out there that are shopping. You know, hey, I've got the person that you really need to have on your show. This one I just thought was interesting. The headline here said, "How to know if you're allergic or intolerant." Allergic or intolerant. I wonder if this goes to all parts of life. I'm not exactly sure. It said, "Hi, Sean." Hello, person who sent this to me from ad agency place. "Hi, Sean. It can be difficult to differentiate between a food allergy and food intolerance." We need to do something to overcome food intolerance in this world. "In order to feel our best, it's important to know which foods to stay away from." So it's what they want to talk about is whether you're allergic or you're just intolerant to food. I didn't know there was like another thing. I thought you either were allergic or you weren't. I guess, I don't know, or somebody. So there it is, a new term, food intolerance. Add that with like food deserts and all the food stuff. And so it's food intolerance. So don't be food intolerant out there like I am with Brussels sprouts. Let's get over that. All right, from the Ascension Technologies text line, Brandon said, "Oh yeah, can I get a 40% raise in a 3-day work week too? Oh, wait, I own my own business, so no chance." That's right, Brandon. That is correct. Dr. Mariana says, "Chicago Fire." Okay, that's one of the shows. I'm sure it's Chicago Fire. I could just picture the show already. Gritty, right? And they're on Chicago Fire. There are some people with probably Irish surnames there, and they're kind of gritty. Chicago, they've been a Irish-American firefighting family for 20 decades or whatever. Yeah, I've seen those shows, but I think that's what that show's like. So could we write that show without the writers? I don't know. And Doctor also goes on to say, "Hi, Sean, figuring that the robots are already performing surgeries, AI doctors around the corner. Just think some AI algorithm may soon decide if you get treatment or not. Sweet dreams." Yeah, thanks, doctor. Dirt Digger says, "I don't understand why dealerships are always remodeling their buildings when go there to buy automobiles, not stay at the dealership like it's a casino or a 5-star hotel. Give me a deal like LCM Motors. Friendly staff, great deals." I'm sure that, that part is true. I'm sure David appreciates hearing that. I think they have, Dirt Digger, somebody check me on this. I think they have to remodel. Is that some kind of command comes down from corporate? Even though they're local dealerships, I wonder if they're, because they do that to McDonald's franchise people, right? They make them do the big remodels and all that. I wonder if that's true in car dealerships. Like if you carry whatever, you know, whatever vehicle it is, you got to put new glass in or whatever they do at the dealership. Joe says, "Just like automation in manufacturing, some people will have to retrain for other jobs. Has been a contentious process since before the Pony Express was put out of a business." And Joe, I hear what you're saying. I think this is different with AI. I understand the whole, when technology moves on, then we train for the new jobs. I think there won't be so many of those new jobs there. I hope I'm wrong, but I think AI is going to change that. Terry says, "Open season on Americans in the Middle East. Snatch one for cash." Yeah, as the deal was billions of dollars for five Americans. All right, coming right back for Midday Mobile next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 151 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Good to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's get an update on precious metals. Ron, what's going on today with gold, silver, and even platinum and palladium?
Everything's been moving up today. Gold and silver have increased probably about 5%, a pretty good little run-up on the day. And that's one of those things. It's just been fluctuating and pretty much between the same numbers. Silver has been fluctuating between around $23 all the way up to $26 and then back down. It's a good area if you're really wanting to create a hedge against inflation. It's been very affordable, and the market's been very predictable.
Now, let's talk about people want to get that. What forms, like platinum and palladium, we know silver and gold, but what forms can you get platinum and palladium in? Are they rounds? Are they bars? How do you get them?
Actually, both. The bars are going to be less expensive because they're not monetized by any of the government, so they're really truly just bullion. It's just a bar. But the stuff that's been monetized in coin values, like the U.S. makes investment-grade stuff in American Platinum Eagles and American Palladium Eagles, and they're in the Eagle family. They have Silver Eagles, Gold Eagles. They're all made by the U.S. government. And almost every country out there, at least the major countries, make both Platinum and Palladium coins for investors every year. So that stuff is available in either form.
Which ones are you – what are you buying? Which one? Which one would you buy?
I like them in the bar form because it's less expensive, and I'm using it as a hedge. A lot of the, in fact, not just a lot of them, a lot of the actual monetized coins are only available. I mean, there's a big premium on them, so they don't have an easy way to get them if it's, cheap. Cheap. By cheap, I mean the premium over is really affordable for the bars, but not so much for the coins. But, I mean, the coins are more collectible. They have very low mintages, and a lot of people do enjoy putting those sets together.
I just want to do what you do because you're good at it. So it's the bars. Also, let's talk about gift ideas, whether it be jewelry, precious metals, open-L knives. Y'all are set up for Christmas already.
Oh, yeah. We got the Christmas rounds, and we will be at the pep fest this weekend, and we're going to be set up there. We will have the Christmas rounds, a lot of different Christmas gifts on display. We just got the second batch of open-L knives in, so we are completely stocked up on open L's for the holidays.
All right. Ron, tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, we're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron. We'll talk soon.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Ron from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Saw this during the news here. You know, I mentioned Drew Barrymore earlier with this writer's strike, and she's doing the 180. So is Bill Maher. So, like, two that I like. I like, for different reasons, but I like Drew Barrymore, who I also find very entertaining, and Bill Maher, who I find entertaining as well. It says Bill Maher reverses decision to host his show during the writer's strike. Said Bill Maher's announced today that he will not, in fact, return to work on his HBO show Real Time with Bill Maher while the writer's strike is ongoing. Maher originally said the show would go on without the writers because he was not prepared to lose an entire year and see so many below-the-line people suffer so much. But the Writers Guild of America called his decision disappointing and vowed to picket the show. Then today, Maher explained why he reversed course, said my decision to return to work was made when it seemed like nothing was happening and there was no end in sight to this strike. Now that both sides have agreed to go back to the negotiating table, I'm going to delay the return of Real Time for now, and hopefully they can finally get this done. So there it is, Bill Maher and Drew Barrymore on the standing with the strike out there. All right, Terry says, I use the map apps for traffic conditions, usually know my routes before I go. That's my excuse, too, Terry. That's the only reason I do it. Which, by the way, time for a plug. The FM Talk 106.5 app. When you're on there, we got up-to-date traffic maps on there, so you can see if they have 65 southbound shut down or whatever out there. It's on the FM Talk 106.5 app. Just check the traffic tab there, and there's also a weather tab and all that good stuff on there. And while I'm at it, it's free. The FM Talk 106.5 app is free. And if you go look for at the App Store or Google Play, just look for FM TALK 1065. And you'll see our logo. That's us. Download the app. All right. Oh, my gosh, Lisa, are you my soulmate? Lisa in Robertsdale said, this is so true. I like to set my trip on maps just to see if I can beat my estimated arrival time. Lisa, that's a sickness. Now, I suffer from the same sickness. I do the same thing, and you go, okay, and then as you shave off a minute or something from your time, and then you feel like a victory there. Maybe that's just Lisa and I. Maybe none of the rest of y'all have that problem, but it is a good feeling. It tells you how long it's going to take you to get there, and then you're like, ha-ha, 2 minutes just came off that baby over the last half hour. I will be there so early. It's going to be great. Yeah, I may be guilty of that myself. Then this will be a story tomorrow we'll do on the show when I can get some pictures, I guess, to put up on our social media. But this came out just minutes ago. Senator Chuck Schumer, Chucky, has now loosened the informal Senate dress code. Said senators will be able to wear whatever they want. This is really good. After Dan and I were talking about people wearing pajamas in the grocery store, here we go. It's going the whole way to the halls of Congress. Senators will be able to wear whatever they want on the Senate floor after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, New York Democrat, this weekend directed the Sergeant-at-Arms not to enforce the Senate's informal dress code. I guess he feels like don't enforce the border, don't enforce the dress code. Sergeant-at-Arms is elected by senators and acts as a protocol officer and law enforcement enforcing the rules of the Senate. In a statement to CBS News, Schumer said, "Senators are able to choose what they wear on the Senate floor. I will continue to wear a suit." All right. And then let's go. Oh, then talk about it. So the change only applies to senators, but other staff members must still follow the code, which requires business attire. So the senators don't have to, but their staffers do. Goes on to point out Senator John Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, has been seen wearing a hoodie and shorts to work even before Schumer's announcement. Fetterman even donned a sweatshirt for a news briefing about the collapse of I-95 in Pennsylvania with President Biden earlier this year. He's very casual. It says here, he wears suits, but it's not uncommon for Fetterman to wear casual clothes. It seems like the dress code hadn't been enforced for some time. Still, women have been criticized or even reprimanded in the past for breaking the dress code in the House and Senate chambers. While the dress code is informal, it alleged that sleeveless attire and open-toed shoes were not allowed. My. Senator Kristen Sinema, independent from Arizona, drew attention for wearing a sleeveless dress the day she was sworn in. And that was something, wasn't it? All right. No dress code now in the Senate for senators. Wear what you want. Show up in pajamas, hoodies, whatever. All right. And so it goes in our great republic. So it goes. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. This should be entertaining.